Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Thursday, the 4th of August, 2011. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we're preaching through the Psalms of Ascent, numbers 120 to 134. We can't cover all the details in those sermons, of course, so these podcasts are giving a bit more information. And today, we're in Psalm 132, verse 7. It reads, "Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool." And here the psalmist is bringing together images from the tabernacle and the ark, together with the present day, for him, images of the temple. He and his pilgrims are going on the way to Jerusalem, to one of the great feasts, to worship at the temple, to celebrate with the rest of the tribes of Israel the fact that God has chosen them and God has provided for their for them to have access to him, his presence to be with his people. And they're looking forward to going to his dwelling place, the temple, worshipping at his footstool. But what are the significances? What is the significance of these two things, the dwelling place and the footstool? Well, the significance of the temple and the tabernacle before it was that it made God, the fact of his presence, real amongst his people. Exodus 29, verse 43 and following. There I will meet with the Israelites. The place will be consecrated to my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. I will consecrate Aaron, his sons, to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. It's all about relationship. It's still true today. God's really interested in relationship. But we see that he wanted to dwell with his people and make his presence real to his people. 1 Kings 8 describes a similar thing, if you want to have a look at that later. 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and following, and we'll see a similar idea. As the priests withdraw from the holy place, the cloud fills the temple of the Lord, and Solomon then goes on to interpret what's going on. It's the presence of God. Of course, more specifically, within the temple or within the tabernacle, the ark was the most significant part of that, or more specifically, even the mercy seat, or what's called the atonement cover. Exodus 25, 17 and following, and Leviticus 16, 13 to 14 talks about that. It's kind of seen as the place where the holy and pure God, who is so other to his creation, however, in a sense, here is where he connects with earth. So that's the significance of the dwelling place, the ark and the atonement cover. Have a look at those passages in Exodus 25 and Leviticus 16 for a bit more background. The Ark of the Covenant was considered, in a way, the footstool. Now, let's go on to talk about the footstool. The footstool of God's throne, of course, his invisible throne, really. Again, have a look at Exodus 25 for a bit more background. The footstool is an integral part of the throne, but it represents the closest that a human being can get to be accessible to the king. The footstool is where the feet of the king sit. And of course, in an earthly sense, that's where the kings received people who were their vassals, who were their slaves, or people who were in subjection to them. That's when someone was defeated, a defeated king would come to the other king and be presented to them at their footstool and bow down. In fact, we see this represented in archaeology. There's the black stela of Shalmaneser III in the British Museum here in London. On that stele, the Israelite king Jehu is seen as bowing down, kissing the ground in front of the king of Assyria. And bowing down at his feet, at his footstool. He is in subjection now to Shalmaneser III. Taking hold of the feet was a way of symbolizing and showing that you were entreating the king for mercy and you were abasing yourself before him. This is paralleled in a healthy way with us, with Jesus Christ, that we willingly bow at his feet. We don't bow at Jesus' feet because he forces us, but we bow at his feet because we recognize him as being worthy of worship and we willingly surrender ourselves to him. It's like the hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender humbly, at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now." Everybody's knee will bow one day for Jesus, Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Let's bow the knee willingly while we can. Tomorrow we'll go on to the next verse. Until then, church work is at nwlcc.org. Please do us a review in iTunes if you can. Have a wonderful day and God bless.